All right, let's all be seated. We only have a few minutes to deal with this Soldiers of Christ thing, and rather interesting. We're at a point of taking a break for the summer. It's not like we're just going to continue this. Take about a 2-month break in the study of the Soldiers of Christ. So we've got this class, and 2 weeks from now we'll have the final class of this early part of the life of Jesus. I've been teaching about the baptism of John and about the work of John the Baptist. And there's one element, and there's no card on it. But I want to read to you an important event in the life of John. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I spoke. After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he existed before me." And then he says, "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." And then this statement from the life of John that many individuals are not even aware of. John says, "John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him." We've talked about that in the baptism of Jesus. Watch this. "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" God gave a revelation to John before his work and says, "John, I'm going to show to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, with your own eyes, you're going to see the Holy Spirit come down and alighting upon an individual. And that individual, when you see the Spirit descending on him, that individual is the Messiah." John says, "I have seen and testified that this, Jesus, is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God." I have no idea when God made that revelation to John. I just know that it happened. And when it happened, beyond a shadow of a doubt, John knew Jesus was the Messiah. I want us to review some things that we've studied already. I have taken the cards out of my folder, and if you want to open your book folder to the prophet card, here are some very, very fundamental things. And we need, as we look to these things, to be reminded that this is fundamental. In writing these cards, we are not arbitrarily just trying to make questions up so there'll be answers. Every question on this card is of importance. If I were to ask you to name the 4 accounts of the gospel, 4 records of the good news about Jesus, I hope you know all 4 of them. I hope after the first 2, you know the 3rd one, and if you think real hard, you'll get the 4th one. Let's say them together. The 4 gospels are you believe that? We were eyewitnesses of it. John says, we heard him talk. When John writes 1 John, he says, "I heard Jesus talk. I was there, and I heard the Son of God talk. I touched him. I reached out, and I touched the Son of God." and I saw him. John, you want to talk about that time you saw him walking on the water coming to rescue you? I saw him. And John says, my joy is full. And John says in 1 John, I'm writing these things down so that while you have not literally seen, literally touched, and literally heard, so that your joy may be full. Folks, it's not pretend. What the Sunday night study of the life of Jesus is to bring reality to what Emmanuel was like while he was on this earth. And thank God that we've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to give us not contradictory accounts, but a harmonious account of what it was like. And by faith, you can see Jesus. Can you, by faith, see him breaking the bread in that upper room? Can you, by faith, see him in agony on the cross saying, Father, forgive me? I didn't hear that, but I heard it. It's not pretend. And so we have this manifestation. Now, there are the four accounts of the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Do you know the answer to that? This is simple. The four accounts of the gospel. What does it mean? Good news. I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ. That's what Paul says. Paul, did you see him? Yeah, I saw him. I heard him. John touched him. Paul doesn't say anything about me touching him, but on the road to Damascus, not by an eye of faith, he saw him. I saw the resurrected Jesus. And that very experience changed Paul. And if you'll make this story come alive, Caleb, if your mom and dad tell you these stories, they're not pretend stories. It's really what Jesus did when he lived on this earth. And you can use your eyes and your imagination to see Jesus on the cross. You can do that. And how important it is, Levi, how important it is to have a mommy and a daddy that love you enough to tell you the stories about Jesus. And Ivan and Amber, thank you for Lucas. Lucas, thank you for what you are. And thank God that you got the kind of mama and daddies. And I don't know if there are any other babies here tonight except these two. Are these really grandchildren? I have the testimony of one person, and as a grandfather, not of these, I want you to understand, these little children are grandchildren, and thank God that God's given them to you. And make sure that when they're reading about their superheroes and they're ready to believe in them with all their hearts. It's rather amazing. We had a young man here who thought he had the power of the superheroes. And he and a group of young adults were out playing with these frisbees, throwing them at each other. And he said, I have the power, and I forget which superhero had the power to put a bubble around him so nothing can touch him. And so he said, watch this. I'm going to stop this frisbee with my superhuman power. It was coming right at him, slapped him right hard in the face. It's not pretend stories. He really did turn water into wine. And that's the good news. And with the eye of faith, and all you've got to do to have that faith is to read this book. Jeff, I see some little ones back over there with you. Thank God for what you guys are doing with your kids. That's so, oh, Grant, you've got one too. Okay, I didn't see him. Any other babies anybody want to hold up? I may not recognize them all. But guys, listen, this really happened. And we've got to believe it so much that when we tell our children these Bible stories, they'll believe us. Just like they believe about Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny, and we brainwash them with that. This you don't brainwash. You're telling them what happened on this earth. And that's what this study is all about. It's not fun and games, going through these drills of saying, are these things in the Bible? For the example, that third question on that card, the four accounts of the gospel tell about who? Well, that's an obvious answer. What's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all about? It's about Jesus. Now, if you were to look on the next card, the priest card, you'll find out who Matthew wrote to and who Mark wrote to and who Luke wrote to and who John wrote to. And you'll find the emphasis of each one of those books. That's on the priest card. Is that important? No. Yep. But the prophet card is designed to give so that everybody in this audience, with the exception maybe those who are under 5 years of age, could be able to learn the answers to all of these things, because this is truth. And so as we begin looking at these things, look again at that next question. In the beginning, Jesus was... You can quote John 1:1, can't you? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Who said that? I heard someone say that. Was there somebody said that back over there? In the beginning was the Word, and He was where? Who was He there with? He was with God. Thank you, Levi, Matthew. That's Levi's other name. Not this Levi, okay? He was with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We think of God the Father in Genesis 1:1. Folks, it's bigger than that. He was with God, and He was God. What role did He play in the creation? All things that were made through Him. When God, the Godhead, decided to make light, God, not the Father, God said, let there be light. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Where'd that dust come from? It was made through Jesus. And nothing that has been created exists on this earth except it being made through Jesus. Is that a giant step of faith? Yeah. But it's not based just on the fact that the Bible affirms it. Because we are about to study and begin our study when we resume this, studying the life of Jesus and see how He interacted with people in the events of His life in a chronological way. And the more you spend time looking at the life of Jesus and the events that happened in His life and how He responded to all of these events, the greater your faith will be. I challenge you, if you're not sure whether Jesus is the Son of God, I challenge you to read an eyewitness account by someone who saw Him, who touched Him, and who heard Him. I challenge you to read anew the book of John. Young people, you can't inherit faith. You can't share your faith, though we sing about it. We can give the basis of our faith to another, but it's got to be your faith. And the decision, Grayson, that you make in life will be based not because mom and dad said this is what you ought to do. It's because a man named Jesus lived on this earth and God, through him, has told you what you need to do. And it's a giant step from being a child to becoming an adult with a personal faith. I believe this with all of my heart, that Jesus is the Son of God. I challenge you to read the book of John. And John is not a lunatic. The profound scholarship of the writer of the book of John and the simplicity of explaining the mystery of godliness. God was in the flesh. I want to close by talking about God coming in the flesh. The pagans have their gods. You know what they're like? I remember being in India several years ago and watching Hindus walk on coals of fire. There was a pit wider than this aisle right here, not much wider. And they'd burn wood all night, and there were hot coals of fire all up and down that pit. And the pit would be as long as from where, perhaps Jerry's standing beside you, maybe even as far as the Lord's table. And these Hindus would get on those coals of fire and walk down those coals of fire. And down at the end was a painting of one of their gods. Six arms. On one side, I'm not sure what he has on the other side, there's a basin on the lowest arm. In the middle, with that middle hand, there's a sword. And in the upper hand is the bleeding hand of a man who had just been decapitated. You want to know why the Hindus are the way they are with no regard for life? That's the kind of God they have. Do you want to know why Americans have no regard for life in the womb? Because we have created a God. They've got a visual one in India. When they got down to the end of that pool, they'd step in holy water. Where'd they get that water? If I tell you, they worship the cow. I'll let you figure out what they were stepping in. Guess what happened to them? Well, self-hypnosis can talk a little bit about it. Their faces look like they might have been drugged. But the missionaries that I talked to would say, you'd be amazed how many times after they've walked on those coals of fire. Well, they go barefooted year-round, you understand, in that part of the world. They've got calluses all over the feet. They said, you'd be a surprise how many times they come to us and we doctor those places on their feet where those coals of fire have burned through. That's not a miracle. That missionary talking about their callous feet. Can I tell you what Jesus did? When God came in the flesh, He came into this world unlike any person has ever come into this world. He was born of a virgin. You believe that? I challenge you to read the account of the life of Jesus and to say, this is not fairy tale. That which is in you, was told to Mary, is of the Holy Spirit of God. And when God was on this earth, He walked like no other man, sinlessly, not a violent beheading the enemy, decapitating evil and vile, which creates a society where life is not sacred among the Hindus. He calls us to righteousness. And instead of, and get this clear distinction in your mind, instead of us creating a God in our image that is a reflection of what we are with our sword and our basin and the treatment of others, God in the flesh says, I'm lifting you up not so you can create me in your image, but so I can create you in mine. God is love. God is holy. God is merciful. God is forgiving. God is just. God is characterized by grace and mercy. And folks, when we are transformed into the image of Jesus, that's what will happen to us. What's the point of the night's lesson? The mystery of the godliness that was kept secret, now revealed. God came in the flesh. Throw your Bibles away, and you'd still know Jesus lived on this earth by secular evidence that does not come from Christians. He really lived. And the eyewitness accounts tell us what it was like. And when we look into the mirror of this book and see in the mirror of this book the image of God in the flesh, we become like this image. It's not a fairy tale. It really happened. Touch Him. Feel of Him. Hear Him. And see Him. And He'll change what you are. That's it for tonight. Thank you very much.